right, folks, come on back in. We today at Cedar Creek for the message, we're doing something that we do once a year. We call it the State of the Church Address, and you're familiar with these. They just had the State of the State Address, I think, this past week, Governor Evers gave the State of the State Address, and probably generally the State of the Union Address is the end of this month.
I think so.
Maybe with events in Washington, it'll get pushed back a little bit. I'm not sure. But we like to do this once a year. So Mark and I are just going to share kind of what's happened last year, kind of where we are as a church, and where we're looking ahead for 2020.
Yeah. And so when with the State of the Union, when you hear something, you're like, half the audience will clap, and the other half will look real stern and angry. No.
And
you don't have to do that.
Afterward, we need someone to come up and give a rebuttal, the other side of it, too, like they do at the State of the Union. Actually, it'd be fine if we didn't do that. I don't know if you grabbed one of these on the way in. I'm just going to tell everyone now, these little green sheets, they're on the round table out there. This has some of the information that we're going to talk about today. You can take this with you when you leave and keep that if you are so inclined. We're just going to jump into this. We're hoping to get done in time. Mark talks a lot. We're hoping to get done in time. So if people have questions, we have time to ask questions. And so there's different things that we want to highlight here as we talk again about kind of where we've been this past year, where we are now, and what we're looking forward to in 2020. And there's just different topics we're going to hit. We're going to talk about finances. That's always a thing. We're going to talk about ministries, just the different things that we're doing here as a church, kind of what's happening. Talk about different leadership type structures. There's been some change in that over the last year or two, so we want to highlight that. And then we want to look forward again, just talk about kind of what we're looking forward to here for 2020. So I'm just going to pray and we're going to jump into this. Lord, thank you for this church. Lord, the church is an amazing thing. You say that it's through the church that the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms are going to learn about you. That's a heady, hard, heavy thing to think about, but it's an exciting thing to think about. And we're part of that. Lord, Cedar Creek is part of your church all across the world. All through history, your people have been the church. And we're part of it right here. And this is a little manifestation of Jesus, your bride. Jesus, your body, God, your flock, your family, all these different words that you use to describe what's happening here. It is so wonderful and so exciting and so momentous, I think, what you do here and what our role in it is. And so we're just grateful, Lord, to be part of your church. And this is your church. It's yours. You bought it with your blood, Jesus. You created it, God. You have called men and women into this place, and this is yours. And so we just are grateful that we can do it together, and we want to do it in a way that's honoring to you, a blessing to each other, and a blessing to the world. So thank you for the chance just to talk about where we're at as Cedar Creek, and we look forward to the year to come, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to start off just with the finances, and we don't talk about finances a whole lot here at Cedar Creek, not because they're not important. Anything you do in this world, money is a part of it, and the church is an organization. In some ways, it's kind of like a business where we have expenses, and then you have to pay the bills, or like a household, perhaps, where, you know, we all know that to live in this world, you have to manage your money well. And God talks about money a lot in the Bible, actually, mostly because I think it affects us so much. And it's such a picture in so many ways of where our heart is. And so as a church, obviously, we deal with money. So we want to just kind of give people an understanding here of where we're at money-wise. And there's a lot here that we could talk about. I'm just going to start by saying, if you have questions financially, our books are open. You can find out, you know, anything that you need to know about the finance of the church. You just ask. Is Renee here? Renee Wanneke, is she here? Renee is our bookkeeper. She keeps the books. Is Jim Myers here? Where's Jim? He's making coffee. He's a multi-talented fella. He is the chairman of the board, kind of oversees a lot of our of our finances. You can ask those two. You can ask Mark and I any questions you might have as we go forward. But we just want to kind of give a snapshot here of where we're at. And so, Luke, can you get to that next slide here? There's information there. Just basic numbers. You can see our general income for the year was almost $300,000, and that's because you guys give. And really, we have one source of income. It's all of us deciding we want to give to the church. That's why we pass the basket every Sunday. And you guys faithfully, generously gave to the church. I think that's an honor to God, and I think it's a good thing for us. Mark and I just want to say thank you for that, because we know that, hey, you can give your money wherever you want. We don't talk about it much here, but you have all chosen to give to Cedar Creek, and that is a blessing. Thank you. And so we brought in that much, $290,000. We spent $290,000, which is always good. We spent less than we brought in. There have been years in the past where that hasn't been the case, or that number was a lot closer. I can remember one year where our income was $1 higher than our expenses. God has been very faithful. Just want to maybe talk a little bit about this, and you can jump in if you want. We've been through, if you've been around for a couple of years, you know that there's been some difficult times here at Cedar Creek, some kind of tumultuous times. A lot of people who were here in, the beginning of 2018 aren't here now. So our numbers as a congregation, as a family, are much lower. There's fewer of us here. That began to happen in 2018. So the Board of Trustees, and I'm going to introduce them in just a minute, the Board of Trustees who oversees our finances recognized that and made some very, very hard but extremely wise decisions to cut our expenses. They looked ahead and saw, you know what, our income is starting to come down. It's probably going to come down even more. And so they very, very wisely looked at that and said, we need to adjust for this. And so they have done a phenomenal job at keeping our expenses underneath our income. And that's not a given. I mean, you know how easy it is.
And I think, and they asked, some of you are ministry leaders who have a budget to spend and to plan around. And they asked ministry leaders to, hey, can you look at your budget? Can you reduce? And ministry leaders stepped up and did that. That made a big difference as well. And so,
just different things. So this is probably a good time to introduce the Board of Trustees. Jim Myers, after church, go get a cup of coffee. You can meet Jim. Bob Parsons has been one. Bob, stand up. Bob has been one for a time. His term is ending. Dan Hedrington, right there, is a trustee. Stand up. Come on. Deb Wells, is Deb in here? Deb? She's counting money. Mark is a trustee. I'm a trustee. And I want to just... Joel Roswell has been a trustee for years and years and years, and this past year he stepped off of the board. So Joel, you stand up too, because he's had a huge part in this kind of working through. So that's the Board of Trustees. And what those folks do is that they make all of the financial decisions for the church. Mark and I don't do that. Well, we're on the board, but all of the budgets, all of the salaries, everything that has to do with money, that group is the one that does it. And they work hard, and they make tough decisions, and they're wise, godly people, and we're very grateful for that. I will just mention this. Bob's term has expired, and for different reasons, he's not going to be a trustee going forward. So we are looking for one or possibly two people to join the Board of Trustees. If that's something you think you might like to do, kind of what the board does, it's on our website. If you go to our website and look at policies and positions, you can find there what the roles of the trustees are. But if that's something you're interested in, we would really love to have one or possibly two people step into that role. Back up to the last slide there, Luke. Want to just briefly talk about the building. If you remember here, we built that addition in, when we built that, 3 years ago? I forget.
We started.
2017, is that? Okay, so we, our building used to end right there, and now we have a whole other building over there. We built that. It cost roughly, I think, for the whole thing was $600,000, $650,000, something like that. We did a capital campaign where we asked people to pledge over and above their normal giving for a three-year period. We also had to borrow some money for the interim because, you know, we asked people to give over a three-year period, but, of course, the builders want to get paid before that. So we had to borrow money, and we asked people to give. Where we're at now is, at the beginning of 2020, is our debt is completely paid off. We owe the bank nothing anymore. We had borrowed money from ourselves, basically, so that we didn't have to borrow it from the bank. We took a lot of our cash reserves and put them into the building. We've paid off the bank. We are paying back our cash reserves, and there are four or five months left on our building campaign. So if you have been giving regularly, that runs through May. But the wonderful news is that we have paid off the bank. In essence, we've almost paid off ourselves, and we're bringing in money now to do some of the things that we didn't do, like we had initially wanted to move the sanctuary wall back, but we had the trustees very wisely, when income started to come down, thought, well, let's just pull in our horns a little bit. But I guess the point to that is financially we are in a very, very good place. Would you? I think, yeah. That, yeah. No. We're building our cash reserves back up. Our income is covering our expenses and then some. So that's good. Just want to give a few more financial things, and I'll be done here. One of the things that we do with the money from the church, obviously, we pay the electric bill, we pay our bills, but we want to have money just to give away. And so there's a fund called the Benevolence Fund. And Luke, you might have here you go, the benevolence giving. We put money, the trustees put money away every month to just give away. And a lot of that money goes to people in the church. If there are financial needs that we know of in the church, that money is there to give to people. And so many people who, if they have a financial crisis or just a financial hard time, and we find out about it or anybody knows and says, hey, what about this, folks? We like to have that money to give away. And you can see we brought in $3,600 and gave away almost $3,400 last year to just people in the church. And so if you know of, you know, if you have financial needs, we want to care for each other and love each other. This really is a family. You look in Acts and it says that nobody was in need because the people in the church took care of each other. And to whatever degree we can, we want to do that. And that's what that money is for. And we've been doing that. And so you can see that. The other thing we do with that benevolence money is there are things outside of our walls that are good to give to. And so you can see there the list of things that we give to other places. And this, I don't know if this is a complete list. It might be. We give $100 a month to CareLink. That's a local organization that if people need gas or they need, you know, instant financial crisis, they can go to CareLink. We just give them money every month so that they're funded.
Just a word about CareLink. That is really in response to churches are often asked by random individuals. We get calls regularly asking for assistance. And CareLink is something that many of the churches in our area contribute to, and we can refer to folks to them. We typically don't refer the folks within our midst to CareLink. It's oftentimes more for those that approach us randomly from outside.
And so
that's how we.
There's other things we do. Like you can see Fierce Freedom, we gave them money this year. Gideon's, we give them money every year. Good News Jail and Prison Ministry. Hope Gospel Mission is something that we've supported in the past. Apple Pregnancy Care Center, we do the baby bottle thing. So there's these outside organizations here, local outside organizations that we like to fund as well. One more thing financially, and I'll turn it over to Mark, is missions. You know, one of the things that we also do somewhat indirectly, but because it's a bit indirect, people might not know about it. We give money every month. We, in essence, tithe. We talk about tithing and how that's something that God says, hey, this is a good way for you to manage your money. You take 10% of your income and give it to the church so that the church can do what they're going to do. We just see that as a very wise thing for each one of us individually and helpful for the church. But we as a church do it as well. We tithe to our region. We're part of a national organization. And in our region, we give 10% of our income to the region. The region takes that and does different things with it. One of the things they do with it is they give money to mission organizations like Great Commission Europe. There are several churches in Europe that our region supports at a very high level, partly with our money. Same with Great Commission Latin America. It says Central America, but it's Latin America. Lots of churches that we're affiliated with down in Central America that our region gives to with our money. Also in Asia, there are several churches in Asia in the Great Commission world that our region gives money to, and it comes from us. So we just wanted to let people know that even though we don't have missionaries, you know, many churches have a missionary, say, from that church that goes somewhere. That hasn't been our model, but we do give money to the region, which sends it out to these missions all across the globe. There's certainly more we could talk about financially. I'm going to stop there, and if you have questions, hopefully we'll have time here at the end, but I'm going to turn it over to Mark now.
All right. The other area we wanted to highlight just is ministries. We have a number of things that we do as a church to minister to one another and to our community, and wanted to highlight that. I want to say right off the bat, though, we're starting at the beginning, that I will probably not mention everything we're doing, so if I miss something that you're doing, my apologies, but we're going to just hit some of the highlights and talk about those. One of the big ministries here at Cedar Creek is our children's ministry. I like this verse in 2 Timothy, and in it says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you had known the Holy Scriptures." Timothy was one of Paul's most trusted partners in the ministry, and he was reminding Timothy about how he just that he was taught the scriptures by his grandma and his mom, Lois and Eunice, and we even know their names. And I like that as we think about our kids' ministries here at Cedar Creek. If you've been here for more than 1 week, you know there's a lot of kids here. They make up about a third of our congregation, I think, on the average number wise. And so they're a big part of the body here. And so we seek to minister to them. And starting off with the littlest ones in nursery, by Abby Walter, who coordinates the nursery ministry, by her count, we had 9 new babies this year. And from just casual observation, there's going to be more this year. I'm just saying.
Mark is part of the medical field, so yeah. There's a...
Yeah, but I know better than to ever ask a woman if she's expecting. I don't ask that. I'll tell you, and never mind. tells me there's 45 of you all who volunteer in the nursery at some time or another. So that's much appreciated. There's 3 rooms. There's lots of little ones. So the nursery is an important part. Sunday school. Sunday school is so important. As we begin early, like Timothy, he was trained early by his grandma and his mom. And we start early in Sunday school, just teaching and sharing with kids about God, about bringing them to Jesus. Like Jesus said, "Don't keep the little children. Bring them to me." And he blessed them. And we want to nurture child's faith in Sunday school. Currently, we have 2 classes, 4- and 5-year-olds, and 1st through 5th grade. And there's 12 individuals who teach regularly, a quarter at a time. And then there's another 6 people who sub in for them. And that's Sunday school. Now, currently, the whole 1st through 5th grade are all together. Ideally, we'd like to split that into 2 groups, a little smaller groups, a little more, you know, there's a big difference between 1st graders and 5th graders. quite a difference between those. And what we need to do, what we need in order to have that happen, we need about 6 more teachers. So just a little plug there. If you're interested in teaching and nurturing the faith of those kids, right there, she'd love to talk to you. So Sunday school, and that goes on every Sunday that we're here, is going on the other side of that wall. Sometimes you can hear them thumping on the walls. I think that's nursery, because nursery's right on this side, but Sunday school takes some of the outer ones. Awana. Wednesday night program here. It's they memorize scripture, they study the Bible, they play games, they have music, they do crazy stuff like backwards night or crazy hair night. Is that not working?
Yeah, it's not working.
Oh, okay. Didn't notice. So, do I need to start over? All right. There's 39 kids come every Wednesday night. If you're here on a Wednesday night, this is a hopping place. And there's a lot of energy and a lot going on. Most of those kids are from Cedar Creek families. Some are not. We have kids from the community as well, and that's great. There's 18 fearless individuals that are here every Wednesday night working with Awana. And that's a great program, too. There's also a high school group. Rob and Jonas Bates work with the high schoolers, just nurturing their faith as they're transitioning, you know, to adulthood. Really, you know, high school kids are kind of on the cusp. And so Rob and Jonas are meeting with them every Wednesday night. So I'm just going to say, if you volunteer in nursery, Sunday school, or Awana, could you just stand up? We appreciate you. This is a big... Yeah, thank you very much. Thank you for what you do. It's an important ministry. Just a word about, we've mentioned this a couple of times, but if you see kids run around after the service, most of them have a sticker somewhere on their clothing or on their forehead or something. And parents, you'll see them wearing their stickers too. That's part of our children's ministry security. We really want to provide a safe place for our kids, and so they get checked in, checked out. If you don't have your sticker, you know, get your kid back.
We've still got some from last week back there, by the way.
There's an unclaimed kids' room back there. Yeah, no, not really. We give them food and... anyway, no, so there's security, and that's why we do, you know, we do restrict the area there during the kids' program. So if you don't have a child back there or you're not volunteering, then we ask you to stay in the rest of the building, not back there. So that's security. And, oh, by the way, we do background checks for all of our kids' volunteers. So we really try to be diligent about that. Other ministries. In Romans, I've been reading Romans 12, and it talks about us as a body. You know, we're a body with many different members. We all have different abilities, different gifts. We're admonished to be devoted to one another in love, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. And so we have a number of other ministries going on. We have Care and Compassion Ministry. They visit folks when they're sick. They visit them in the hospital, nursing home, and look for any opportunity they can to reach out and demonstrate compassion to those that are hurting or in need. One of the areas, as far as the community, we've reached out to Robin's School and tried to partner with them some to just help provide for things that they might need, have in the past provided meal for the staff. This year, we contacted them, think about providing a meal. They said, how about you know, we can bring our own lunch, but if spend that same money, they bought some recreation equipment, some balls and things like that, and so they really appreciated that. So providing for local school there. We have a meals ministry, the Meal Train, that Brianna sitting over here that coordinates.
All right.
So when something's going on in their life, like a new baby or a hospitalization, an illness of some sort, they coordinate a delivery provision of meals. And the meals, Brianna said they provide 81 meals this year. And I suspect there was even more than that that didn't go through the system. I know there are. But that's a great ministry for people that are in need of that.
And Mark, some of the, like Care and Compassion Meal Train, it focuses on us as a family, but also outside.
Right.
I mean, both of those things, there are people who aren't part of the church who get the benefit of the meals ministry or the
right.
Care and Compassion.
Thanks. Yep. So, Brianna, when I was asking her about just some facts and figures, she said, well, tell people that if they need meals, contact her, or if they want to make meals, contact her. So if you're on either side of that, she's the woman to talk to. Weekly women's prayer. This has been going on for 30-plus years. Nancy and I were talking about that this morning. There's a small group of women that meet here at the church every week and pray. And they are praying for you. Specifically, if you've expected a baby, if you've been in the hospital, if you've just had any needs that they became aware of, or just in general, they've been praying for you. And they do that every week and have been for a long time. Let's see, Operation Eau Claire, that's something we've done this last year, this last summer, or fall it was snowing, wasn't it, when we did that, but we try to serve our community. We want to, we'll talk a little bit more about going forward, but this is something that we want to continue to do at some level. So we worked on it. We did some work at Robbins School. We did some neighborhood projects, et cetera. Then we also have a wellness ministry, some exercise, nutrition classes, kinds of things. And that's all right. I'm going to keep talking a little bit more. You be quiet. All right. Ministry and community are kind of overlapping. I kind of separated these in my mind. Community is our middle name. We often refer to ourselves as Cedar Creek, but you know, officially we're Cedar Creek Community Church. So church is our last name. Community is our middle name. And community is just people being together, living together, interacting. And so there's a number of things we do to promote that, to help make that happen, keep that rolling. One of the big things we do is we have life groups. And I know that many of you are involved in life groups. Currently, I think we have 11 life groups, a little over 100 people, adults involved in those. Some of the life groups, the kids outnumber the adults significantly. But anyway, 100-plus adults, and they get together either every week, every 2 weeks, and there's a number of different types of groups. But we've added a couple this year. The existing ones have been growing, and so that's I haven't given as much support as I should or would like to the life groups, and that's something going forward I hope to prioritize more this year and give more support to those leaders and grow those groups. Another thing we did for community this last year was Tables of Six. Many of you were involved last winter, about a year ago. We did it for the first time where groups of six people got together once a month for a meal. And I think we had about 10 groups the first... A little over 100 people the first time. And then we did it again this fall, and a little smaller number in the fall. And just looking forward, we're going to, I think, next week start to promote the next round in...
February, March, April, May.
See, that's why I checked. So that's coming. We do things like the Fall Festival, where we just have a party after church, basically. The women have been busy this year. They had their they had a pop-up event. Mary Poppins, I think, was there. They had Christmas gathering, so they've been busy. Another thing we did, I think, as far as community, it's not so much casual, but some, you know, communities all need to communicate. And so we've had some roundtable discussions. These have typically been Saturday mornings. We had a couple of them on discussing the women's role in the church, and specifically the women's role here at Cedar Creek. We had one on marriage and communication and conflict resolution. Did another one on finances. So those were always interesting. You never know where those conversations are going to go, but very fruitful. And then just wrapped up last week, I think the women went through a book called Emotionally Healthy Women, and that all of these things are designed and they work to build community among us.
Yeah, and those are the ministries and the community things. I don't think that's an exhaustive list. I mean, we're just trying to give some highlights. Yeah,
that's right.
Ryan. Right. Yeah. Jonas Bates. In fact, it's going on right now. There's a financial peace class that's happening on Thursday nights here at the church, and yeah, that happens. That happens pretty regularly. So yeah, there's more things. We're just trying to get some of the highlights here. Okay, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about just kind of the leadership structure here at the church. And on this green thing, if you grab it on the way out, it kind of lays out on one side here, kind of what our leadership structure is. And this is and it's interesting. This what's printed here is something that I drafted maybe 15 years ago. So it hasn't changed much. And again, our desire is to look at the scriptures and say, well, okay, God, this is your church. How do you want it to be run? And so as much as we possibly can, we try to make the church model what we see in the scriptures. And so not much has changed in the sense of the overall church structure, and you can see that here. But I think there have been several changes in kind of within that structure, how that functions or how that looks. And so I want to talk about that just a little bit. And by the way, let me just make one more plug. If you go on our website, there's a lot of information on our website. If you go on there, you can look on the policies and positions tabs, and there's a document called Pastoral Leadership and Authority, and it lays all of this stuff out. It kind of gives a lot of the scriptural background, and it's a much more in-depth study on what our structure is, why we see it that way. And so you can look at that. And again, if you have questions about any of this going forward, please feel free to ask Mark and myself at any time. Real briefly, want to just talk about some of the changes here or some of the ways that we have tweaked or altered a little bit how we function within this organizational structure. And I'd mentioned the Board of Trustees. The Board of Trustees oversees all of the finances. They make the financial decisions. They set salaries and budgets and handle all of those financial decisions. That group does that. We have a couple of other boards, I guess, or groups of people that I want to acknowledge here. One is the deacons, and deacons are people, and again, you can see this on our website, kind of what the deacons are. That's another thing we see in the script. Scripture, deacons are people who serve in specific kind of church-wide ministries, and they have a certain level of character. There are character qualifications for deacons as there are for pastors in the scripture. And so we have several deacons. I want to just quickly introduce them, and I'm going to have you guys stand up and stay standing up, okay? Jim Myers, he's back from the coffee. Stand up, Jim. Jim's in charge of finances. Lisa Paulin is in charge of the kids' ministries. Brianna has just stepped into the role of a deacon as care and compassion. Greg and Luke back there, those guys run the sound and the tech and the Sunday morning production stuff. Steve Newman is also part of that group. He's in Arizona right now. Ryan Rudak is the deacon. There you go. He runs the Awana. And I think that's it. Am I forgetting anybody? Oh, Aaron. Yes, I'm sorry. Aaron, Aaron and Don. Yeah, Don too. I can't read. That's my problem. I was looking at the wrong list. That's my problem. Don's in charge of the building. Aaron runs the music. So I think now I got everybody. Okay, thanks, folks. You can sit down. That board, I'm going to get into a little bit some of the other functions that they have here after I introduce the advisory council. This is something that we started last year. And what this group is it's a group of people that sit down with Mark and I as pastors. They sit down with us regularly. It's been monthly. Or almost monthly.
It began
monthly, and we meet regularly, and we talk about issues that affect the church, and we just get their input. Can you offer any more insight into what we? I mean, the big part of it was we just wanted people speaking to us as we're kind of trying to lead the church. Well, what are you seeing? What are you thinking? What should we do about this? Getting a broad spectrum of people speaking into these issues. Is that? Fair.
Yeah. If we're thinking about changing a program or adding a program or changing the how we do the service or things like that, it's a group that we can say, hey, this is what we're thinking about doing. What are your thoughts?
Right.
On the other side, we also say, I see your hand. Matt's waving at him from the back. It also is a place where they can be a bit of a sounding board and it can bring things forward and say, hey, I've been hearing this, you know, is that something we could share? For instance, the group brought, well, people have some questions about the kids ministry security. Why are we doing that? How are we doing that? Maybe we should make it, you know, maybe we should talk about that. So.
Yeah. And you can see those folks. So could you folks stand up just so we can put a name to face? Is Brad in here? Brad, I saw him somewhere. Brad Blomberg right there holding a little baby. Paul Fila, is Paul in here? Don't see Paul. Cassandra's here, I know, somewhere. There's Cassandra back there. Nikki is maybe teaching Sunday school. Nursery. Nikki's in nursery. Laura Stanley, she's up here singing. Where's Laura? She's out there with kids. Everybody's watching kids. Justin Wickman is not here today. Steve Newman's not here. And Matt Novacek in the back there. Stand up, Matt. So that group of people meets with Mark and I regularly to talk about those kinds of things. Now, the reason I introduced the Deacon Board and the Advisory Council is I want to talk about some things that we're implementing here in this pastor we want to do going forward that have to do with them. As we lead the church and as we recognize, as we understand from the scriptures that it's the pastors that are given the responsibility to lead the church, we want to do that well. And part of that is making sure that there is communication, input, and accountability. And so we have added some things here. One thing that we added in 2019 was a pastoral reaffirmation. In other words, Mark and I were both appointed as pastors here at Cedar Creek. We raise up pastors from within the church, and that's based on character. It's based on, I guess the only way you can say it, is a calling, a feeling like this is the role that God has for you. But we wanted to add in plenty of input and accountability. So one of the things that we did in 2019 was we started an annual reaffirmation where Mark and I, as pastors, we will ask you as a church to, in essence, reaffirm us as pastors and how that works. And again, this is laid out in that document I mentioned earlier. Three of the deacons will be, the deacons will get together and choose three of themselves, and they will be a panel, and we will announce and give everybody here a month or so to give input, positive or negative, on Mark and I. Yes, I think that they should keep going, or I have concerns. Those three deacons take that, they make recommendations, and that becomes public. It's just a way for everybody to have input, and it's very open so that we can just provide accountability. The advisory board is something we started last year to give input and to give more and more. God gives us all different ideas, all different personalities. We have different perspectives, and together we're better than any one of us is by ourselves. And so it's a way for Mark and I to get more and more input on that. Another thing that we are adding this year, and this may seem strange, but I've been a pastor for 25 years, maybe more. I have never once had a job performance review. It's been great. It all comes crashing down this year. We're going to do it. No, we decided we're going to add that in. It's a very good accountability thing. So I am going to be, and Mark will be, reviewed on our job performance. And the people that are going to review me, say, I'll just start with me, is the other pastors, one of the trustees, and one of the deacons. They'll they'll be the panel that, that reviews my job performance and will give me a performance review. And again, the desire, the hope is just accountability, just what are you doing well, what can you do better, kind of thing. We're adding that in this year.
Just the reaffirmation you want to talk about. When we did the reaffirmation May of last year, and our expectations will be doing it again
right
coming up here.
This spring, right. Yeah. Yep. We'll do that again. We've done one. One of the things that we also want to do is just have a very helpful, beneficial way for people to raise concerns or disputes with the pastors or with the church or whatever. And sometimes it can be intimidating, perhaps, to walk into my office and say, I have a problem with the church, or something's not going right with you, Rob, or something like that. So we have asked the deacons and the advisory council to be people that if you have an issue and you feel uncomfortable talking to Mark or myself, go find one of them and talk to them. It's a way, again, it's just another entry point for people to share what is on their heart and mind. And so we want that to be very, very open out there. Couple real quickly of changes in our pastoral structure. We talked last week about the possibility of appointing Justin Wickman as a pastor. If you weren't here last week, we've been talking about this for some time. We actually brought it up in church back in 2019 in October, perhaps. Last week, we presented him kind of formally as we'd like to move forward in this, but we're in a time now where we really desire your input. And this is not a done deal. Assuming if everything keeps moving forward, we'd like to appoint him in February, but that's not a done deal. So we desire your input. And I've already talked to one person. I'm going to talk to another one this afternoon. So this is something that we want you to speak into. It's kind of like the reaffirmation thing. Do you think that Justin would be good? Do you have questions about that? Do you have concerns about that? Are you really excited about that? We want to hear that kind of thing that's going on. And so if it's possible that we would add a third pastor here in 2020. The last just change I'll just tell everybody is my role has changed just a little bit. I have gone to, I guess the right way to say it is, I've gone to work one day a week for our region. So one day a week now I'm being paid by the region to do regional things. Mostly what I do for the region is I sit on the regional board and my other big responsibility is I go around to the region and I help coach some of the other pastors here in the region. So I work one day a week for the region. It doesn't change much of what I do. A lot of it's over the phone. I've been traveling about one day a week in the last couple of years anyhow. So it just kind of formalized something that had been happening for a while. But they also now, beginning in 2020, pay one-fifth of my salary. So it's another financial help to the church that they're paying me. Have anything else on leadership?
I think
okay, I gave a lot of information. Again, if you have questions, please ask.
And one of the reasons we made up these little green cards, you know, we can introduce the deacons, we can introduce the trustees, and you go, oh, yeah. Who are they again?
All right, here.
That's a card you can take with you.
Yep.
You know, so you can remember that. Because obviously, Rob can't remember who they are.
I can't remember who they are.
So. No.
I can't remember anything.
No. Just kidding. But,
okay.
Yeah.
All done. Yeah. So
you're done?
Yeah, I'm done.
All right. Oh, so you're leaving goals and plans?
Yes. Well, I'll jump in.
Yeah,
start.
Okay. We want to talk about goals and plans, and this is something it's important to look ahead. For some of us, it's harder. I'm kind of a, you know, next step kind of guy. I need to get bumped a little bit to think in the future. But we want to think out in the future into the where we're going. We need to know where we're going. And I think 2019 here was a bit of a year of recovery and just getting solid and confident and going forward. We look to solidify some of the good things we've been doing this year. We were talking about this at the advisory board, advisory council last Sunday, and we kind of threw out the idea of this idea of growing the family as kind of a, I don't know if that's a byline or a kind of a header, because growing the family, we're as a church, we're a family, And we want to grow our family, both in quality and number. We want to serve our community. We want to grow together. We want to support families because we're a family. And so we want to encourage outreach, encourage serving the community, encourage sharing our hope in with those we interact with. We want to focus on family life, supporting families. Parenting isn't easy. We want to support parents in what they're doing. There is strength in numbers. There's being in a community like this. I oftentimes talk to the young parents here at church, and one of the just being part of that community of parents is very helpful to them. And having even having the support and encouragement of those of us that have done it in the past that aren't doing it anymore is a good thing. And so we want to grow in that. We are current. I'm going to let Rob talk about the current update to the core values. One of the things we do want to do is continue roundtables. We want to use that time to focus on specific issues and use it both as training and encouragement times, but also just time for the family to talk together about various topics. So,
yeah, I like the growing the family because it touches on so many things. I mean, we as a church, as a family, are we growing in numbers? You know, it says in Acts that more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. We'd love to see people get saved and become part of the church family. Are we growing as individuals? Are we growing, becoming stronger as a church family? And then also our families, like Mark said, with moms and dads and kids, that's so important. So growing the family is, I think, a really nice, good thing to look at going forward. Just mentioning the core values update. We did a teaching series last spring on what our core values were, and that's good to do. And when we went through it, you start to think, okay, is that really what our core values are? And so I just Mark and I and Justin have been kind of chewing on that over this past year, and we've kind of revamped them. Haven't really changed it. I mean, if you really looked at the core values, they haven't changed much, but it's been reworked a little bit, and we've been working through that with the advisory council. And so here in the next few weeks, we'll probably present that to everybody and just let everybody see kind of what we're looking at. And here's why that's important: what your core values are kind of defines. It should define kind of what we do. If this is really important to us, are we spending time and effort and energy into that? So we want to make sure that we know what's really important to us, and then we look at all the things that we do and do they fit into that. So that's been going on. We're gonna kind of complete that here hopefully this year. And then finally, exploring Cedar Creek's role in counseling. This is something that came out of 2018. If you were here then, we had a lot of things happen, a lot of hard things happen, and through that I kind of developed a list of lots of things to think we should look at this and think about this, and this was one of them, and it's one of the few that hasn't been kind of wrapped up, and there's a lot in there, but just recognizing that as individuals we all have things that we need to talk through and work through. What is Cedar Creek's role in that? What does God want us as a church to be doing for each other? And as part of that, that very much speaks into that women's role as well, because men and women are very different. And so as we've talked about, like Mark said, the roundtable is talking about women's roles. This is part of it. What is the women's role here at Cedar Creek in this whole idea of counseling in both directions? If women need counseling or women give counsel, how do we kind of work that through? And that's kind of a big thing that we haven't really bitten off yet, but we want to here in this next year.
And I think we better stop.
We better stop.
We didn't leave time for questions. Time sure flies when you're talking. No. I think, all right, enough. Why don't we pray? We'll wrap this up.
I'll just say this, though. If you have thoughts or questions about any of this, please, please, please come and talk to Mark or myself. If you have thoughts about Justin being appointed, if you have thoughts about anything that we've talked about, if you're interested in being a trustee, we threw a lot of things out there, but we really are in this together. So please come and talk with us.
Thanks. God, we are in this together. I thank you that get to be part of this community of believers. And I thank you for your provision. Thank you for your faithfulness over the years, over this year. And we look forward to going forward with you at our head. And we pray that we would be together following you, lifting you up, honoring you with what we say and do. And so, again, we want to bless you for your faithfulness and recognize you as our Lord. Amen.